Dear gracious, loving Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity again to come together. Lord, we want to learn more of how to be effective in our ministry for you. We understand as we move closer to the end of time that we need to be sharing our information, the truth that we have with others. So we ask that your spirit would be with us, that you would guide us and teach us what we need to know. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Okay. Well, first of all, the first sheet you have is Christ's example in soul winning. So we're going to go over that, and then we're going to talk about some practical ways to use the information. So it says Christ and his disciples. The disciples were members of the family of Jesus, and they had accompanied him as he traveled on foot through Galilee. They had shared with him the toils and the hardships that overtook them. They had listened to his discourses. They had walked and talked with the Son of God. And in his daily instruction, they had learned how to work for the elevation of humanity. As Jesus ministers to the vast multitudes that gathered about him, his disciples were in attendance, eager to do his bidding and to lighten his labor. They assisted in arranging the people, bringing the afflicted ones to the Savior and promoting the comfort of all. They watched for interested hearers, explained the scripture to them, and in various ways worked for their spiritual benefit. They taught what they had learned of Jesus and were every day obtaining a rich experience. You're welcome. But they needed also an experience in laboring alone. They were still in need of much instruction, great patience and tenderness. Now, while he was personally with them to point out their errors and counsel and correct them, the Savior sent them forth as his representatives. So we have a couple things that are bold, and these are the things we're going to talk about. First of all, in soul winning, Jesus was the one who ministers. It's Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit. It's God who touches the hearts of people. We do not have the power or ability to convert anybody's heart. So we need to allow the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, to do that to people's heart. But what did they do? They watched for interested hearers and open doors. What are some ways that we will know that when they're interested hearers or open doors? Transitions. When people are moving into new areas, when there's a death in the family, illnesses, new neighbors, job changes, births, deaths, all of those kinds of things are examples of open doors. Because then people are willing to listen in times when they normally wouldn't. So they had to be aware of that. Then what did they do? They explained the scripture to them and in various ways worked for their spiritual benefit. They built relationships. We talked yesterday about we're in between the sixth and the seventh seal, and God is in the process of sealing his people. But as he is in the process of sealing people, we need to be building relationships so that when we share our literature, it actually is able to sink into their souls. You know, we hear about things, tracts and books being thrown away, and usually that's because we didn't have a relationship with the people. It didn't mean it wasn't effective, and Christ still can't use that. But when we have relationships and we mix that in with the power of the Holy Spirit, our evangelism will be so much more powerful and effective. They taught what they had learned of Jesus. And what do we do when we teach what we learned of Jesus? We give our personal testimony. What has he done for you? What has he done for me? People will listen. You know, I've given lots of talks, and sometimes I'll be with a group of young people. And young people is a very hard group to keep their attention. And every time I've learned the cue, when they start becoming distracted, I go right into a personal testimony, and it automatically picks their ears up, and they stop and they start to listen to what you have to say. Testimony is powerful. So if I can get some young people who are just trying to talk amongst each other's ears to perk up because I'm telling about how God has been used, how God has been in my life and made miracles happen, it can work because everybody wants to hear the good news. Everybody wants to know that God is alive. He's doing things. He's working. And so Always be ready to share your testimony. And it doesn't have to be when you came into the church. It could be what he did for you last week, how he healed somebody in your family or someone that you know. So always have a testimony. And then lastly, the Savior sent them forth as his representatives. So they had to have these things in their training, so when they went forth, they would be effective. It says there in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe whatever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end. So the Spirit of God is going to be with us when we follow his plan. And that's what happens many times. We have our own ideas and God has a plan. So we need to be focused on his plan. As a church, we have received great light. This light the Lord has entrusted to us for the benefit and blessing of the world. To us has been given the ministry of reconciliation. With the power from on high, we are to beseech men to be reconciled to God. We are encouraged to pray for success, with the divine assurance that our prayers will be heard and answered. If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Ask of me and I will answer your requests. The promise is made on the condition that united prayers of the church are offered. And in answer to these prayers, there may be expected a power greater than that which comes from private prayer. The power will be given with the proportion to the unity of the members and the love of them for God and one another. So prayer in unity is much more powerful than prayer alone. It doesn't mean you shouldn't pray alone. But two or three, which means it can be a husband and a wife, it can be a mother and a child, it can be a father and a child, it could be two church members. Pray in unity. So the more we pray, the more power we will receive and the more effective our ministry will be. If you go to the exhibit tent, they have a booth from the GC. And they will have this book. It's called Revival and Reformation on Prayer. It's free. Go there and get yours. I didn't get a whole bunch because every time I get them, they disappear because people take them. So you can go there and get them. And they also have these three tracks on prayer. So this is wonderful information. I advise you to pick up a couple, take some back to your church because then you'll have it. This is a powerful book. It's written by Mark Finley, but it talks about prayer. And when we start to use literature in ministry, it needs to be bathed in prayer, like we talked about yesterday. We don't just want to hand it out willy-nilly. We want to pray over that because God knows exactly who needs it, the right track that they need to have. We were buying textbooks back in Huntington, West Virginia, and every day there was this guy that came around and he looked like, you know, he was kind of straggly, that he needed some money, but every day he would come around. And we were passing out tracts to the young people as they came, and so we gave him a tract as well. And so he came back one day, and he was like, you know, I read that tract that you gave me. And he said, you know, I've really been struggling. And, you know, I don't have money, and I'm not working, and he gave me the whole spiel about how he was struggling. But he said, but I read that tract, and the tract that we gave him was, does God care if we're hurting? And God knew exactly what track to put into that young man's hands. And we were able to spend some time with him, to pray with him. And on our last day when we were trying to break down, you know, because we had already made up our mind, we're not giving anybody any money because we're buying textbooks. So because we're buying textbooks, everybody assumes, oh, they're buying textbooks. They have lots of money. We're not giving any money. So the very last day he came, we were breaking down, and we were able to hire him because we do hire people to help us break down. And so we were able to hire him, spend some more time with him in prayer. And I don't know where that's going to go, but God knows where it's going to go. It's a seed that's planted. And as we talked about yesterday, there's going to be stuff
people are going to be coming out of the woodwork in the last days, and we're not going to know where they came from. But seed has been planted, and it's our job to plant that seed so that we can be effective in ministry. Okay, we're going to turn over on the other side, and it talks about building relationships. Christ and his disciples, how did they build relationships? They met together every week. They went to the synagogue. They worked together daily. They prayed together. They healed the sick together. They visited. They ate together. They ate with friends. They studied together. They shared their joys and concerns. They came out of their comfort zone. Christ definitely called them to come out of their comfort zone. They worked in groups, and they depended on the Holy Spirit. So when we start to think, okay, who can I get to work with me in my ministry and in literature work? These are some of the things that you want to be able to do as you work with these people. This is great for new people that are first coming in the church, because a lot of them are still on fire. They want to do something. And if we start to treat them and build relationships the way Christ would, they would become effective ministers along with us. And you've got to do these things, because if you look at the average person in church, they don't meet each other but once a week on Sabbath. They don't go to each other's house. They don't do things together. They don't pray together. They don't visit each other. I mean, this is the average church member. None of these things happen. But when these things start to happen, dynamics start to occur. You start to pray about each other, and you pray for each other. Because, you know, you have to have a group that is tightly knit for you to really share your heartfelt concerns. Most of us, they always have, do you have any silent requests? People raise their hand, sure, they have silent requests. But most of us are not going to share our heartfelt needs with people that we are not intimate with. And so we need to build up some intimacy with people in our church that we're ministering with. And that is the very best way. Because when you guys are out there working together, and you have your joys and you have your sorrows together, you are going to be knit together, just like Christ was knit with his disciples. And it makes a difference when you're ministering together. Christ, as a leader, he sought guidance early, and that's what we need to do. He got up when it was dark, and he prayed, and he asked his Father to give him guidance. And many of us just want to charge ahead because, oh, I know how to do this. I've done it before. And then what happens when we run into a brick wall? I think I need to pray. So we need to seek guidance early. We need to pray for our friends and for our enemies, because there may be somebody that we don't necessarily like or agree with, but God wants them in heaven just as much as he wants you. So we need to pray for our friends and our enemies. He used practical applications. He was always telling stories and parables to help people to relate to what was going on. He attended their social events. He went to weddings and all of those things, and we need to go to those kinds of things as well. A lot of times, well, I'm an Adventist. I don't go to those kind of things. I don't do those kind of things. There are things that we don't do, just like we had our message last night about standards. But building relationships is something we can do. And you don't build relationships by telling everybody you can't come to everything or do anything. You build relationships by going to the wedding and going to the birthday party and going to those kinds of things, because then people see you care. He led by example. He worked with them side by side. And when we want to pull people into our ministry, these are the things that we need to be able to do. He was willing to be a servant. You know, somebody says, okay, we got all this stuff. Well, there's a big, huge, heavy box out there, and everybody disappears. It's like, no, you know, he would walk over and get the big, huge, heavy box. And we have to be willing to say, okay, I can't lift this box by myself, but can somebody help me? We're going to get this thing in here and get it done. And he depended on the Holy Spirit to convert hearts. And that's from Romans 2:4. In Acts 2, when did the disciples receive the power they needed to fulfill the gospel commission? After they had spent some time in prayer, after they had spent some time confessing, when they got their hearts right with God. We want the power. We need to do the same thing. Why do we use methods other than those prescribed to finish the work? Are we ever learning and never coming into the knowledge of the truth? Because we have done things the world's way, and we wonder why we don't have the experience and the fruitfulness that Christ had when he was here. because we have to do things God's way, not the world's way. That's our overview of Christ as an example. And from that, we're going to move into some practical ways of sharing the gospel in your personal ministry. Okay, first thing on here is you need to pray, and we talked about that. Pray when you feel like praying. Pray when you don't feel like praying. Pray when you don't know what to do. Pray before you even start. Pray. Yes.
It's a t-shirt, and I'm just looking for that, but it says try prayer first.
Yes, that's right. That's it. I saw one. It was a thing. It says, you know, when you can't get it done, fall on your knees. We know when you're falling on your knees, you're praying. We need to pray. We don't pray enough. We don't ask enough. You know, God says he's more willing to give than we are willing to ask. We have this independent spirit. Lord, I don't need you. I got this. Don't worry about it. I can handle it. Until we fall down. And then we're ready. Lord. And it's like, no, we need to start praying first. All you have to do is go. You know, don't be surprised or intimidated. And God is going to do something different. When I first started doing literature ministry, you know, I was like, I don't know if I want to do this, pass out stuff, go to people. But, you know, the Lord has blessed because I have been able to build so many relationships with people. And now, you know, most of the people that I know will take pretty much anything I give them because I've built up a relationship with them. And that's what it is. You have to be building relationships. But don't pass out anything you're not familiar with. Whatever you're going to pass out, make sure you read it. You don't have to read everything thoroughly from page to page to cover, but you need to be familiar with that information. Because if I hand this magazine to somebody and I say, I want you to read this because I think this was a really great article, but I didn't read it, believe me, they will come to me and say, you know, they had a section in the kids' corner and I had a question about that. And, you know, I'll look like, oh, I didn't even read that one. So that's just how it's going to work. So make sure you are familiar with the materials that you're passing out. Start small and God will nurture you and he will make the relationship grow. Don't overwhelm people. If someone says, well, you know, I wanted some literature, and you just say, well, here, I got some stuff for you to read. No, you're going to overwhelm them. Yes.
I work with a young girl. She's a medical assistant and she's having problems with constipation.
Okay.
Do you need apples? No, I don't like them. I said, well, my right now has really good.
Okay.
So go to Myers and buy some possessive. Mm-hmm. So she did. It was kind of like the weekend. I started next time. She said, I feel so much better. But she's at the hospital. She's so constipated. She went to the hospital.
Oh, my.
Right. And they told her you were just constipated.
Mm-hmm.
So she started eating those apples. Every time I saw her, she's eating apples.
Uh-huh.
I said, and drink water.
That's
she's
it.
Asian. I thought Asians ate a lot of veg. She goes, no. I said, well, tell me what you had for dinner. Rice and chicken. I'm like,
give us some health literature.
I took them out and I picked out like 7 of them.
Okay.
And I said, this girl's not going to read 7 blows at one time. Which ones do I think are the top three that I should give her?
Right.
So then I picked out the top three. One was digestion, which, you know, another one was this doctor makes house calls, which is a general overview
of health, yes.
And then I think the last one was. So I'm just going to give those three to start. And when I told her, she said, really? You can stop for me?
Yes.
I said, yes. I said, I'm sorry, but I said, are you interested? She goes, oh, yes. I said, well, are you working on Monday? And she said, no, I'm not. But I live close to her. I'll come and get them.
Praise God. And see, and that's what happens when we build relationships.
I stepped in. And then moved it to a different clinic on Monday.
Oh.
So I still have them.
Right.
And I actually went to that clinic. I don't remember though.
Right.
I actually went to that clinic, and then it was lunchtime, and I couldn't get into it. So I'm locked down.
Oh.
And then I said, well, I'm going to tell her I came to the clinic.
That's right.
And she knows that I was kept my part of it. And I wrote myself like 2 different notes, so I'm sure I took them.
Satan, you can't bombard. And Satan will try to dwarf all of our efforts, but we have to, like you said, we'll be persistent. God wants this information out.
Know the interests of those that you share with. Know what their hobbies are and their occupations and some of their favorite colors, because those things make a difference. I have a friend and she likes those little Yorkie dogs. I'm not a dog person, but she loves those things. If I were to send her a card, I could pick out any card in the whole world and send it to her. If I sent her a card with a little Yorkie on the front, she would love it. She would just treasure that just because I took a little extra time. And when we know what people like and what they're interested in, it makes a difference. Because they say, you know, people don't know, and I'll get to it. People don't know, care how much you know until they know how much you care. And that's what it is. Christ cared enough to leave heaven. And if he cared enough to leave heaven, we can care enough to do the little extra things. The little extra things. It's the small things in life, the details that people notice. And we need to think about that when we're trying to share things in our ministry. It says here, women tend to respond more to their feelings and they're more emotional, and their greatest concern is usually their families. But men tend to respond to what they see and know intellectually, but they're concerned about their family as well. But amazingly, their occupation and their goals are usually their priorities. So you got to kind of balance it out. But follow up. Ask their opinions. Ask if they like things that you gave them. Ask if they didn't like things. Because you don't want to continually to give them something that they're just not interested in. You know, you might be giving somebody something and it talks a lot about adding vegetables to your diet and then they're just not interested. But you could give them something that talks about fruit and they'll be like, oh, man, I love fruit.
Give them one recipe.
Yeah, that's it.
Yes, that's it.
Okay, people respond to felt needs. And right now people are responding because if they have a need, like you said, that woman had constipation. That's a felt need. I need to deal with that. Someone is going through depression or grief. Try to deal with those felt needs because they are going to be open if you're trying to help them with their felt needs. Be compassionate with dealing with those that are hurting or grieving or very sensitive, because those people sometimes are very easy to offend. And we just have to pray about it. The Holy Spirit is not going to take us anywhere that we don't need to be going.
Sometimes it's good to have a partner.
Always.
My husband is not compassionate at all, but he's full of knowledge.
Okay.
I'm the nurse and I'm not compassionate.
Right.
So when we're together, we're working with someone, mm-hmm. it's that knowledge part, and I need compassion as a friendly part.
There you go.
We were at Taco Bell, and he had his Bible study, that Tom shirt.
Yes.
And a man came over and said, I'm like him. He said, I like the message on your shirt.
Right.
And he said, oh, yeah. He said, it's a program our church is, you know, annual program our church is doing. And
right, right.
I said, yeah, you just go to the Bible study.com. And then my husband just turned around. He's done. I said, what church do you go to, sir? I said, you go to church every day. He goes to the Four Corners Church.
Okay.
And he had his little Vietnam death hat on.
Okay, okay.
And the only thing I didn't ask him was his name. I said, I was in the meeting too, you know, so I was kind of trying
right,
to.
Right, right, right.
So then I told him, my husband Linda had said something else to him. And, oh, my husband said, I've heard of that. I think, isn't for the, anybody give the Four Corners Church? I think it's for men. I think it's like a men's group.
Okay.
Four square, yes.
Okay. All right. Somebody's heard of it.
I told him that, and I said, well, you live? He said, you live in Elma.
Okay.
Well, my son-in-law Daniel is going to take over the Elma Seventh-day. I said, we're Seventh-day Adventists. And I don't hide.
Right.
I say it straight up. People can take it, leave it.
Yeah, that's it.
I said, we're Seventh-day Adventists, and there's a Seventh-day Adventist church in Elma, which is associated with this program.
Right.
So you go online, sign up, and if you like it, then you visit the church. And you'll meet the people there who are putting on the program.
There you go.
Okay.
All right.
So, but my husband's like, yeah, that's what it says.
All right. Okay. Make sure whatever you present is attractive. We'll talk about that in a minute. And next, keep a record of your contacts and your progress. Keep notes, thoughts, and responses, and keep it all in one place. And the reason that you want to do that, keep it all in one place, is you want to be able to pray for people. Now, I have this little booklet. This is the one I use. This is a booklet that I actually got here, but it's a little pocket prayer thing. And in this little booklet, I had a list of people who were attending the Revelation seminar. And I listed all the people And if they were Seventh-day Adventists, I put down, I put the first day that they came. And so because this was the group that I was praying for and witnessing for and witnessing to at that particular time, I would lift this book up in prayer because the Lord knew every single name in here. And as time went on, I would be able to get to know some of these people. Some of these people I was able to visit. But you need to have some kind of way, and we'll talk about it a little more, to keep track of the people that you're working with. Yes, there are going to be pieces of literature that you pass out and you'll never ever see it again or never know who has it. But we need to be developing relationships to disciple these people, to bring them into the truth, because those will be the people that we work with. If you get a group, might just start out one or two of you, but if you get two or three people that come in and they came in through you working and praying, they're going to think that's the way to do it. See, because one thing about people, if you come into a church, when we came into a church, they had seminars going on continuously. I probably went in the first year, probably went to like 10 seminars at 10 different churches. So I thought this is what you do, because this is what we did. When you come in and that's what's happening, you know, we were in Flint. We went to Flint. We went to South Flint. We went to Linden. We went to Holly. It was like they kept having seminars. So we just kept going because we figured this is how you do it, you know. And so when you bring people into the church using literature and you're passing it out and showing them how it's done, they will think that this is how it's done and that everybody is doing it. And so they don't want to be left out, so they're just going to automatically get assimilated into it. So it's a wonderful way to bring people in and disciple them, because this is what Christ did with his disciples. Again, he brought them in and he taught them how to find people. He told them, look for interested hearers. That's the people that ask questions at the end of something. That's the people that want to know more, because when people start asking questions, that means they have an interest. They didn't just get up and leave after you talk to them. What about this? What about that? Like she's the same with the lady that she's sharing with. She wants to know more. Those are interested hearers. Many times we waste too much time on fruit that is not ripe. Sister White has a vision where she and some friends are picking berries. And they get there to pick the berries, and they just rush off, and they come back a little while later, and they say they couldn't find any berries, none was ripe. And so she goes up to the bush and goes inside and looks, and she comes back with a big, huge basket of berries. And they're like, well, where'd you get those from? We didn't see any berries that were ripe. Because they were just looking at the outside, and they weren't willing to take the time to look inside. And she says, what happens is, we waste too much time on fruit that is not ripe. I know I want my mother in the church. I know I want my children in the church. They are not ripe. And we spend hours inviting them to things, taking them to stuff, giving them things, and we go to their house and they don't know where it is. They're not interested. At the same time, there are people out there hungering and thirsting for truth. And so we need to learn to recognize fruit that is ripe and pick the ripe fruit. Because you know what? God will bring our mothers and fathers and all those other people that are not in the church in his time when that fruit is ripened. But we can't waste our time waiting on them. When I joined the church, I hurried and told my mom and dad and everybody in my family, this is wonderful news. They looked at me and said, okay, thank you. They were not interested. I prayed for my mother for 26 years, for I was the only Adventist in my family for 26 years. And then my mother called me up one day and said, oh, I'm going to a Seventh-day Adventist seminar tomorrow, and it's going to be on the Sabbath. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to call you and see how it went. And she called, and I called her back on Sunday, and she said, oh, I just wanted to tell you I was baptized. You see what I'm saying? When the fruit was ripe. You see what I'm saying? When the fruit was ripe, you know, amazing facts came through. She went to the things. She was ripe. She was ready. It took 26 years for her to ripen. But what would have happened if during that 26-year time I had not been focusing on other people and sharing with others that were ready and were ripe and were interested? That could have been time wasted. So when we find the fruit is not ripe, you know, what did Jesus say when they go to the town and they're not interested? Shake the dust off your feet and keep on going. It's okay. God will ripen the fruit in his time. Okay, so some tools you're going to need. First of all, you're going to need those interested hearers.
Those are the people that ask the questions, that want to know. You need those. You need something to record stuff in. We'll talk about that a little more. Printed material, recorded material, and guess what? Everybody likes food. Sorry, but food is a great way to minister. That's right. It's not literature. There you go. See, food is a thing that you can use to get. All right.
I wasn't going to church on Sabbath. I was a devout Catholic.
Oh, okay.
And my husband's co-worker kept inviting us. He said, Viv invited us to church again. I said, I told you, I'm not going to church on Saturday.
That's right.
Then the next he said, Viv invited us to church, and he said they're having a vegetarian potluck. I said, I'll go. One time. We never left.
Praise God.
That's what got me into the room.
The Lord knows what needs to happen. Okay. People to share with, your interested hearers. Who are those you can share with? Attending church members. We neglect those that are attending church. We only see our friends once a week. But our friends, many are struggling. Many of the people that attend are on the edge of not coming at all. If we start ministering to them, they will, you know, press together. They'll be part of the group. We got to start working on the people that are there. Everybody likes to have a card or have something to let you know you were interested in them. We all like those kinds of things. And then, yes, women's ministries is wonderful for that. Then the next group is missing members. A missing member is a great person to witness to. You don't have to teach them about Sabbath. Don't have to teach them about the state of the dead. Don't have to teach them about what to eat and what not to eat. They know all of these things, but they're missing. Maybe it's because nobody's visited them in 10 years. You know, I had one person said, you know, they visited somebody, and the guy said, what took you so long? It's only been 20 years. Nobody had visited him for 20 years. He just stopped coming, and nobody even cared. And that's why we lose members, because we don't care. We just kind of, oh, they're not here anymore. We have to start reaching out. What would Christ do? He would not let somebody be gone for 20 years and never even have any contact with them. We have to work on it. Family members are good. Family members, there are family members that will ask you questions that are curious. Not all of them, but there are some family members that want to know. Well, what are you doing? Why are you going to church on Sabbath? Why come you weren't at the football game or the other thing? Family members, and there are ways to share with them. Anyone, and I gave you a little mission map there, and you can look. You got the school and the post office and a neighbor and a vet, and you can just add all kinds of things. Those are places that you can find people that you can witness to. I have a habit when I go into any retail store that I will frequent regularly, especially if you go places like Walmart and some of those places now, they have greeters. Any place that has someone that I see on a regular basis, they usually have a name tag. I always greet them by their name. And every time I go in, hello, Marion, how are you? And I continue to greet them. Over time, it has not failed that they have asked me what my name is, because I always greet them by name. And that has helped me to build up relationships with them. I had one lady at the Meyer grocery store. I came in the store one day and she said, wait a minute. I got something to show you. And she went and showed me a little newspaper where her husband and her had been honored because they had their 65th wedding anniversary. Now, how many people do you think that comes into that Meyer store that she showed that article to? Probably not any. But, you know, there might have been a couple. But because I had taken the time to speak to her by name every time I saw her, when she asked my name, we greeted each other. Now, when I would go in and be able to have something that I needed to share with her, I have a greater opportunity and chance that she's going to be receptive. Because, see, first of all, she shared with me. So if I have something to share with her, she's probably going to feel obligated. I tell people guilt is a good thing sometimes, to listen to what I have to say, because I listen to what she had to say. That's it. It's all about building relationships. And we've got here, you need to have some way to record your stuff. I gave you a little example here of the kinds of things you want to record. You can record it in a little booklet like this. You can have it in a notepad. You can have it on your phone. Whatever works for you, but you need to keep track. And the reason why you need to keep track is people are like, well, I don't have time to do all of that. This is not for everybody. This is for the people you are trying to build relationships for, because you want to build relationships for eternity. So it's worth a little extra effort, because you don't want to, you know, here it says, I gave this lady
And 7/13, I gave her a VL, which is a Vibrant Life magazine. I don't want to give her the same Vibrant Life magazine 6 months from now. And if I'm actively out there passing out literature, I might not remember. So it might not be a bad thing to just put down which one I did. Because if I'm really interested, I'm going to spend a little extra time. Because then when we talk about things, I'm like, she's been taking a Vibrant Life. I've given her like 6 of them already. So she's probably ready to come to the health seminar that we're having next month. Because she's been taking these things and we've been discussing. I need to know that because I may have one person that is totally interested in health. And then I might have another person over here that is totally interested in spiritual things. And I don't want to get the two mixed up. Because once the person that's interested in health has to ask you to make that connection. Because many of the people that are interested in health, when you start to giving them spiritual things and they're not ready, it will be an automatic turn off. So you really need to keep those things straight. Okay. Here we go. Get to the fun part now. Cards. All kinds of cards are things that you need to be able to have and use. First thing I suggest is, I suggest that every single church member have their own business card. Not the church or the pastor's business card, but your own business card. Because you are making the connection, not the pastor. On the business card, you don't have to put any of your information if you don't want to. This business card doesn't have anything on here except all the church information, but it has a line that says church representative. And on that line, I can write whatever I want. I can put my, sure. I can put my name, my address, my phone number. I can put any information on there that I want them to have. Any information that I want them to have because I have a line. And on that line, I can put what I want them to have because you know what? There are some people you meet instantaneously. You're ready to share your cell phone number with because you clicked. There are some people it's like, I don't know about this guy. He seems interested, but I'm going to give him this card. He can call the church and we'll hook up that way. But see, this allows you to do that. And these cards allow you to put them in every single piece of literature that you pass out. If you want people to connect with you, put it in there. Yes, churches can lose labels and all that, but when you're doing your ministry, that the people that you're working with particularly, you want some of these people to connect with you. So this is a wonderful way to have them connect with you. You know, what we did is we got a couple thousand printed up so everybody at the church could have them and, you know, anybody could use them. And they never run out. They're good, you know, forever because there's no expiration date on them.
Did you see Carlos on one arm, though?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
And he has his own card. It says, all Bible questions answered.
All right.
And that's what he was kept out in the book.
That's it.
He brought 5 students into the church to be baptized.
Praise God.
Yeah. Well, God said, what? What do you mean you would answer all Bible questions? I can answer all Bible questions.
There you go. And
he got his interest. He was a pastor's son.
Okay.
And in 6 months, that young man was baptized.
There you go. See? The Lord is good. I've taken this particular card. I have photographed it. I have it in a JPEG. And when people ask me for my business card, I text it to them. I have it on my phone because I don't always have cards. So I just made a copy, took a picture of it, texted it to them. So now when they want my information, they have it right here, right on this card. And you can do the same thing. So it's either, you know, we have technology. Let's use what we have while we have it for the right purpose. So that's one way you can use your cards. Okay, greeting cards are also a good thing that you can use. And when you send out greeting cards, do not send out the greeting card without a track on the inside. I don't care who it's for. Even if you send out bills, people stick them in bills. Because you do not know. You do not know who is hurting and what they're searching for. So use your greeting cards in a very specific way. This one here is for somebody that just got baptized. And inside, you know, hey, the challenge of truth, letting them know it's nice. Probably going to be rough out there, but it's okay. So greeting cards are a wonderful way to share the information. Should have brought my light bill. Postcards are good. Also, you can use postcards. Now, one thing that I do, here you have Hamlin, and Hamlin has a whole set of, they call them lily cards. And these lily cards are specific postcards that are used for ministry. And they have all kinds of things little animals on there. Be healthy. Happy birthday. This is the one I said I sent to my friend. Just loves the Yorkies because she would love that. You know, if you like animals, if you like nature, Little League cards. You can get them from Hamlin, but you can get any other kind of postcard. And they'll be up here. You can take a look at them. Another thing that I have started doing is I take recipe cards and I write the recipe on the card. You get this kind? And I can use it as a postcard as well. So somebody comes to potluck or visitor or whatever and says, I really like that dish. So I just write the recipe out and address it like I would a normal postcard and I can send it to them. So I can use a recipe card as a postcard as well. So there's all kinds of ways you can use different kinds of postcards. This one here, I just took some stickers. You know, they got all kinds of stickers now. And I wanted it because not everything appeals to men. And this was just a page of stickers of scripture. And I just stuck them all on here. And I made my own postcard because I wanted to send it to a gentleman. And I didn't want little animals and all that kind of stuff. So I just took some stickers and I stuck them all on here. All things that were uplifting. And then I'm just going to mail that as a postcard. And so just be creative. I tell people, you know, a lot of times we see stuff. I don't know what I could do with that. I go to the places that's cheap and look in the clearance section. And that's what I buy. I don't spend a whole bunch of money on this stuff, but I do want to be able to have stuff that I can use for ministry. So those are some things you can use for cards. You got memory verse cards. These are just plain old memory verse cards on a ring. They're great. I put them on a ring so I could keep them all together. You don't have to have a hole in them. But these are great also to slip in to your cards like this. You can slip them into gifts, all kinds of little things. People are searching for truth. Pray over this and God will tell you exactly which one to put in. And there's like people who put this in their wallet and carry it around for years and years because it really meant something to them. And again, we talked about it yesterday. People need to settle into the truth. They need to be sealed. And so in order to do that, they have to just keep having a little layer here and a little layer there. And all those layers help them to come to conviction. And so everything that we can do to help them with that will help them to be settled into the truth and sealed. Okay, we talked about the recipe cards. You should always have some sticky notes. I take these sticky notes with me. I keep some with me most of the time. When I go to hotels and stuff, because we travel a lot, you know you want to leave some tracks. Well, they're cleaning up the room. And when they come in that room, anything left in that room, they're throwing in the trash. That's just how they do it. They don't have a whole bunch of time. So if you have some sticky notes with you, you can put a little note with it and, you know, and let them know, this is for you. Thank you for keeping my room clean. Because that way, when they come through, they'll see, oh, it's a handwritten note. It might not get in the trash. It might get to them. But normally, if you don't leave a note or something, it's gone. I mean, that's just the way it is. So sticky notes are great. Just you need to have them wherever you go. Gift cards are good. And I use gift cards for all kinds of things. I get little boxes like this. You can get them at the dollar store. And you can put a gift card in. But gift card boxes are nice because tracks fit right in. They're excellent for people who don't want to have to do anything. This one here is one to like a Bible, like the ABC. This is like a gift card to the ABC. It's not an ABC one, but it's that kind of thing. And then there's one here. This one is for the student that's graduating, that's going away to college. He's getting a gas gift card because you know he's poor. And you were thinking about him. And I put one in here that says sleep, schedules, and sanity because that is going to be relevant to that young person that's going away. It's something very simple, and it doesn't have to be, you know, a $50 gift card. Just something small lets them know you're thinking about them. You're building relationships, because a lot of times we give gift cards to people with things they can't even use. So think about practical things and use those gift cards. They're an excellent way. Then we have welcome packages. Now, this welcome package is very unique. This welcome package comes with a little candle inside. And sometimes they have a little snack in there with it. But this one is one that is welcome to our church. This one is given to people when they move into the neighborhood new. They find out who's new. And on Sabbath afternoon or Sunday or whatever day you want to go, you take this bag to the people that are new in your neighborhood. And you're welcoming to the neighborhood. You know, it used to be people would bring you a loaf of bread and stuff. This is the church welcoming people to the neighborhood. It tells you about your church. It tells you about the services. It has a thing in here about the kids ministry, pathfinders. It has a card from the church. It has a refrigerator magnet. You can make it whatever you want to make it. But think about it. We talked about when people are in transition. So here's somebody in transition. They just moved to the neighborhood and a tragedy happens to them. Maybe somebody dies in the family and they don't know a church because they just got there. Your church is going to be the one they remembered because you reached out to them first. So these are wonderful ways to minister to new people that are coming into your neighborhood. Of course, when you have visitors come to your church, you can always give them gift bags. This is one that I got from a church I visited a couple weeks ago. They had a really nice little, I'm like, oh, that's kind of cute. That's not literature, but I bought it because I thought it was cute. They had a Bible promises book inside. They also gave me a calendar of events and everything that was happening at their church. But what I really liked is they have their own personal card, and it tells you the times and everything of the services, which is wonderful. Picture of the church. So if you're driving down the road and trying to find it, you know, if you haven't already been there. But they gave me a visitor card. And you know how a lot of times we mail visitor cards out after people have visited. But they wanted to make sure I got it. So they put it in the bag saying, thank you for coming. We really appreciate it. And you can get creative with that. But that's something that people touched my heart. I'm like, oh, this is so cute. I like this little thing, you know. You don't know what's going to touch somebody's heart. Think about it. Maybe you got a young guy that's going to college and he just moved in and he doesn't have anything. And you put something like this in there, he'll like, oh, I can use this in my dorm room. It's little things like that. Yes.
There are a lot of people who actually want to contribute, but they want to do something for ministry. They don't know what to do.
Yes.
But, you know, a retired lady or a retired man can sit down and make those and put them in the bag.
That's right.
And then they feel like they're
Yes. Right. And that's what we need to do, because, you know, we have the initiative of every member and total member involvement. Well, that is when we get people. This is when you get those people that aren't coming regularly or those shut-ins. They have a talent to do something and say, hey, we're going to make bags to take to new people that are coming into the neighborhood, or bags that come to visitors. And these are some things, because ask them, well, what would you think needs to go in there? They don't all have to be the same, but it gets people involved. And that's what we want to do. We want to get people involved. Okay. The next thing we got on our list is CDs, DVDs, and church bulletins. An idea for church bulletins. A lot of churches don't use these bulletins anymore, but a lot of churches have these sitting around because they're old. The thing you do with these is you take the current bulletin, you stick it in, and you take these and you have your members sign it and give it to the missing member. Everybody sign it. We missed you. We loved you. Where are you? And they get this delivered to them. So somebody's coming to visit them, bringing them greetings from all of their church members that they don't see. That makes them feel part of the church family, because we neglect, again, those that are in the body already. Another thing you can do is they took this church bulletin. This is the bulletin. They put it in backwards so you can see the flowers and all the stuff when you opened it. And then they put the CD or the DVD of the service. And a lot of people say, well, I don't want to do all that because we got to buy all those little cases. No, you don't, because the person that you're delivering to does not want all those cases. When you are delivering it to them once a week, then they're going to give you the old cases back and you can just use them over and over again. So it's a wonderful way. They know what's going on at their church because they're getting one every week or every month, whatever it works, and they're getting a chance to hear. Keep them involved. We cannot continue to lose people because we don't reach out to the members we already have. Retention is one of the most important things, not just getting all these people and then letting them float away. Okay, there's all kinds of magazines, and Betsy's going to talk to us about magazines in a few minutes, but there's all kinds of magazines that we have in our church. And we have magazines, Balance is a magazine. We have magazines that are subscription magazines. We have magazines that are non-subscription. But what we've come up with that's very unique is how to get information from people. So we have a drawing box. And this drawing box is sitting out in the foyer. And you have cards. And so it's offering them a free magazine subscription. So they just fill this out, put the card in, they get a free magazine subscription. That could be a Sabbath school class's activity. Their job is pull out the card, find out who it is, and you don't send the magazine to the house. You hand deliver the magazine because that's how you build relationships. And this way you can let the person know, this is a magazine that you got. You're going to get it for a year. Somebody will be delivering it to you every other month because it only comes out 6 times a year. And then the rest of the people who didn't, you've got their address. You send them a card. Thank you for entering our chance to win the free magazine. We're sorry that you didn't win it, but we're glad that you came to visit our church. And now you have names when you're ready to do Unlock Revelation or any other series. You've got names now because these people have asked. You can also, for the techie people, we do the same thing, but we have a QR code. They scan the QR code. It takes them right to your church website. They've done all the work for you now. So, again, when you're ready to do your evangelistic series, you just get those names and send it out. They can win it either way. It's a wonderful way to get a use of our magazines because we have so many different magazines. Some people send them. I suggest if you can at any reason, any way possible, deliver the magazines because when you deliver them, you build up a relationship. If I see somebody 6 times in a year and I'm talking to them, I'm having an opportunity to build a relationship with them. And it's all about building relationships. And they are not going to be upset because you came to the house because, remember, they filled it out and asked if you would come. So because they asked for you to come, it's okay. Let's see. We have tracks. And you can look at them. We have tracks from our church in every way, shape, and form. We have tracks on every single thing that you can possibly think of. Bible study offer. Tracks. We have tracks. So if you're looking for a way to do tracks, we have tracks. And let me give you these. These are tracks. I'm going to give everybody a pack or two. These tracks are from It Is Written, and they gave them to me to give to you. These tracks, if you look at them, you'll see there's a QR code on the back of the track. These tracks have just a little tiny bit of writing on the inside. Then you scan the QR code or go to the website, and there's a 30-minute video on each one. So they're using the track and the technology all at the same time. So this is a new thing that's coming out. And those are for you to share. But tracks, like I said, we have tracks. We have so many resources in our church. If people understood all the resources that we had, we would not be afraid to witness. Because we have such a variety, there's a wonderful way to be able to witness to any and everybody that you would like to witness to. Just a couple quick examples. If you have a friend who's trying to lose weight, puts a couple of tracks in. There's a water bottle. There's one of those things you put around your neck if you're sweating. Gave them a little pedometer. Okay, I care. I heard you're trying to lose weight and you're starting to exercise. Just something very quick, inexpensive. Bottle of water, little rag thing. I mean, you spend maybe $4 or $5. You'd spend that much on a card that they would throw in the trash. This way they've got some tracks that they can keep. And every time they use their little pedometer or their little, I don't know what you call this, little sweat rag, they're going to think about you, and they're going to think that you care. Here's a person here. This person is trying to get off of caffeine, a guy at work. So you gave him a little mug. You gave him some non-caffeinated drinks to try, and you gave him a little track. There are little things like this. You took some nuts, put them in a little container, and give somebody something about health. Just little things like this help make people know that you care. And when you care, they will be responsive. There's so much that we have. When you use cookbooks, because we did talk about cookbooks, take and mark the cookbook. Put a little marker in there. I've got all kinds of little markers that you can put in. Hey, I thought you liked this bread recipe. Just put a little marker in there so they know that that's the recipe you want. And loan them your cookbook. It's a reason to come back and get it. We have books for new people that are coming into our church. This is Welcome to the Family. This book here is for the new member, and it helps them to learn about the church, What we did is we had someone that joined. We had all the members of the church sign, and we presented this with them. And there's a place in here for their picture when they got baptized and some other things. So it's a very wonderful way for us to welcome people into the church. Because remember, they've got to settle into this truth. And, you know, sometimes you're new and you get discouraged. And, you know, maybe you just pick this up. And you look and you see the picture of when you got baptized. And you see all the people that signed it and the greetings that they gave you and those kinds of things. And it really, you know, it really sinks in. Now, I told Betsy I was going to give her a few minutes here. So I'm going to give her a few minutes and then I'll finish up. So she's going to tell you about magazine and some testimonies. Go ahead, Betsy. Betsy, I'll let you tell them where you're from.
Good afternoon.
Yes, I should give Betsy this. Good thing we got somebody who's on the ball here.
Yeah, and where is this going?
Just look it on your manual.
Okay. You're going to stand here.
Does that work?
Yeah. Standing, hold it, whatever works.
Well, good afternoon. Some of you I've met over at the ABC. Some of you haven't come by my booth yet. I want to ask you a question. Is there anyone in this room who came into the Adventist message through literature or whose family came in through literature? Is that you?
It's me.
It's me. It was my great-grandparents. They had come from Norway and Denmark, and they found literature in their language in the New World because there was a great immigration in the late 1800s, and there was a lot of people that were coming from Europe, and the Adventist Church was savvy enough to realize we need to get literature out in the language of these people. And you know, she talked about how there's change happens, people are more open to reading literature. So obviously my forebears, they were probably Lutherans because that's what people were in these countries. They were open to getting truth about the Sabbath and, you know, what Adventists believe, the second coming and things. And I remember reading a newspaper clipping. It was a church paper clipping about my great-grandfather, August Geis was his name. He was Danish. And it said the Geis family came out under the after getting a paper, and it was a Danish name. And they used to say, "You came out." Well, what was that referring to? That's right. Come out of her, my people, right? I love that. They came out. They came out and they got in, right? So you might be surprised if you go back and you probe a little bit into all your family's history to find out that there was somebody that was blessed through literature. Now, when I was growing up, I never in my wildest imagination said, when I grow up, I want to be a magazine editor. There was nothing I ever thought about doing, okay? I'm a nurse. I'm a health educator. I did my graduate studies in hotel restaurant management. I'm a musician, but I never thought I would be an editor and a writer. And sometimes you end up doing things because no one else will do them. Have you ever been in that situation? No one else would do them, so you become the resident expert at something you never trained for. Okay, that's what happened to me. I edit a magazine called Last Generation Magazine, and some of you have seen it. I have a copy for each of you that we can hand out, and it actually has some little prices in there, too, in case you want to come by. I want to tell you some stories about how God uses magazines. Before we do that, maybe Teresa's already read some of these statements. How many of you have seen the publishing ministry? Did you tell them to get the publishing ministry? You need to get the publishing ministry. It's a wonderful book to encourage you to use literature and the type of literature you should be using. And I should tell you that I also teach in a media program. I teach writing. And I make my students memorize portions of publishing ministry. Here is one really important statement. Okay. In a special sense, Seventh-day Adventists have been set in the world as watchmen and light bearers. To them has been entrusted the last warning for a perishing world. Okay, so think about the kind of things you want to be handing to people. Of course, they got to be ready. We know that. But you've got a trajectory you're working on. On them is shining wonderful light from the Word of God. They have been given a work of the most solemn import, the proclamation of the first, second, and third angels' messages. There is no other work of so great importance. They are to allow nothing else to absorb their attention. Then, this famous statement, maybe you've heard it. The most solemn truths ever entrusted to mortals have been given us to proclaim to the world. Okay, she doesn't stop there, though. The proclamation of these truths is to be our work. The world is to be warned, and God's people are to be true to the trust committed to them. And she says the most fearful warnings ever entrusted to mortals has been given to us. We are the ones. We're the stewards of this great message. Now, like she's been sharing, not everybody is ready for you to give them a tract on the Sabbath. Right? There's a progression. And I like to think of it this way. I didn't have time to make this kind of a preparation for presentation. But let's just say I needed to pull Teresa out of a ditch. I can use Teresa because I think she won't mind this. Okay? And I'm going to get a chain. I'm going to hook it onto Teresa's car because it's in the ditch. All right? I'm going to hook it to my car. Now, what is a chain made up of? Links, right? Now, that chain is only as strong as what? The weakest link. Okay. But think of all of those links. That's how God reaches us through literature, I believe. It's usually not one piece of literature that somebody picks up that gets them into the baptismal pool, right? Or gets them to heaven, really. That's the goal. Baptism is on the way, right? Via baptism. But that's the goal. There's a whole series of events that have taken place. And your little piece of literature might have been just one of those links. And that might be all you were supposed to do. But God has this plan. Okay, so how does this relate to magazines? So you all got a magazine, right? I'm going to tell you the story of a lady who came into the Adventist message through a Last Generation magazine. I've got lots of stories, but I'm going to tell you one that's very dear to my heart. I call these people my first fruits. I had been editing magazines for a couple of years, and when you're a writer and an editor, you feel like you write into a dark void. You give very little feedback. Every once in a while, you get a little encouragement, and I have learned, you know, just one little message a year, and I can work for another year. You know, so I've been working for a couple of years doing Last Generation magazine, and I've been doing this for 30 years, folks. I keep praying, Lord, send somebody, but he hasn't yet. Anyway, so my mother-in-law was getting a subscription to Last Generation magazine, and she put it on her coffee table. And very sociable people. The insurance salesman called up my father-in-law, said, I want to come out and talk with you about your contract, your insurance policy, and see if maybe you want to do some other investments. My father-in-law was a businessman. And so the insurance man came with his wife. And while the two men were talking and my mother-in-law was working in the kitchen, the wife was sitting in the front room, and guess what she was looking at? The Last Generation magazine that she'd found on the coffee table. And she was looking at it. And she came out to the kitchen. She said, could I have this magazine? Oh, sure, yeah, I can get more of these. My daughter-in-law's the editor. I'll get another one. You just take it home. The magazine was Three Angels, Three Messages. And you know what was in it. So she took it home. Her husband and her were sitting in bed that night. He was doing a crossword puzzle, and she was reading this magazine. And she punched him. His pencil flew across the room. She said, did you know that Sunday is going to be the mark of the beast? Have you ever heard of this before? He was Lutheran. She was Catholic. And they attended her church. No, never heard of this. Long story short, they called my in-laws back up and they said, we want to study the Bible with you. We're so excited about it. This is amazing. No one's ever told us anything about this. We started Bible studies 1 year later. they were baptized. As a result of, let's think of the links in this. Okay, I had to write and edit this magazine, and there were other people that had written, so they all had their little links. But what was the next link? If it had just stayed in my office, would it have ever... No. Somebody ordered a subscription to the magazine. It came. Then what did they do with it? Did they just stick it in the shelf? Put it on their coffee table, right? So then you have somebody with it on the coffee table. And then this lady is reading. But there's more links. If she had just read it and that was it, we don't know. What happened next? There was a Bible study, right? And there, but before all of this, I should have mentioned, there was a friendship. And it's interesting. Even though it was a business relationship, they always wanted to come and visit my in-laws because they always felt so good being in their home. You know? It's very interesting. So I want you to think, when you're giving a piece of literature out, you don't know about all these links that have happened or that are going to happen after you. It's not all you. It's never all us. It's always the Lord that's in charge of this process. Our point is just to do our part of the link, and God's going to show you where you stand on that. So I want to read another statement to you. Periodicals come in different ways. Excuse me, magazines come in different types. You have periodicals, which means they're a subscription magazine, and there's a variety of magazines you could send out. The Signs, Message, Vibrant Life, Last Generation Magazine, our particular publication. We go a little more in depth, and we always have a Bible study. So if you're working with people that really want to study the Bible, this would be a good option. I want to read to you from the publishing ministry. Let's say you're out going door to door in the neighborhood and you're giving out magazines. And by the way, when you have something that has a cover on it, you know, like that, that's catchy. That's a nice thing to take door to door. But sometimes people are they don't want you at their door. And I'm that kind of a person. I'm not really someone that likes people that are strange to come knock on my door. It's just my personality. So I think everybody's going to be like me, you know. So it takes a lot for me to work up my courage and go to a door. But let's say you go and they shut the door in your face. Listen to what Ellen White says. This is publishing ministry. Even if they shut the door in your face, do not hasten away in indignation and make no further effort to save them. Ask God in faith to give you access to those very souls. Cease not your efforts, but study and plan until you find some other means of reaching them. If you do not succeed by personal visits, try sending them the silent messenger of truth. There is so much pride of opinion in the human heart that our publications often gain admittance where the living messenger cannot. So in other words, send it in the mail. Okay? So we have a plan and other publications do too. Okay, this is one of my favorite statements. I love this one. We have no time to lose. Important work is before us, and if we are slothful servants, we shall certainly lose the heavenly reward. But few have broad and extensive views of what can be done in reaching the people by personal interested efforts in a wise distribution of our periodicals. I love that. In a wise distribution, because we just don't do things, you know, broadside, just scatter it. Many who will not be induced to listen to the truth presented by the living preacher will take up a tract, or a paper, and the paper is a magazine, and they'll read it. Listen to what happens next. Many things they read meet their ideas exactly, and they become interested to read all it contains. Impressions are thus made upon their minds, which they cannot readily forget. The seed of truth has in some cases been buried for years beneath the rubbish of the world, and the pleasing fables that deceived ones have enjoyed. After a while, some earthly sorrow or affliction softens their heart, and the seed springs up and bears fruit to the glory of God. But many read these papers and tracts, and their combativeness is aroused. They're angry. And they throw the silent messengers from them in a passion. All ideas all new to them have, although unwelcome, made their impression. And as the silent messengers bear the abuse without retaliation, lying in the corner, There is nothing to feed the anger which has been excited. Again, the hand takes up the neglected paper or tract, and the eye traces the truthful lines, and again in a passion it is thrown from them as their path is crossed. But the mind is not at rest. The abused paper is at last perused, and thus point after point, the truth commences its convicting work. Step by step, the reformation is wrought, self dies, and the warfare and antagonism to the truth is ended. The despised paper or tract is henceforth honored as the means of converting the stubborn heart. So isn't that interesting? You know, they throw the thing, but God keeps impressing their heart. I want to share a story of Pastor Mike Thompson. He is one of the associate pastors at the Sacramento Central Church. He used to work with me on Last Generation magazine. He was a young kid in the United Kingdom. He's from England. He was in a rock band. He was the lead guitarist. And there was a neighbor that used to come, an old man would come and hand him a Signs of the Times. And Mike had been taught to be polite, so he never wanted to say to the guy, "I don't want your stuff." So he said, "Oh, thank you very much." And he threw it behind the door. And this went on for months, years, several years. One day, one of his buddies was killed. And Mike and his friends in the band got together and they were all, you know, talking about this. They were young. "Where is he? Is he dead? Is he watching us in heaven? And is he a ghost?" And Mike thought, "I wonder if any of those papers behind the door have anything to say." So he dug out these papers and he found one that said, "What happens to you when you die?" And he read it. And he was really interested in it. It was the first time he'd ever heard that you didn't go to heaven when you died. So he, the next time the man came, he said, "By the way, do you have anything more on death, at what happens when you're death?" The guy brought more books. Long story short, he began studying the Bible with Mike. Mike was baptized, and Mike is an Adventist preacher. Isn't that amazing? I mean, these stories, you could just go on and on and on. I'm going to tell you one last story. By the way, let's just talk, before I tell you one last story, let's talk a little bit more about magazines. How would you define a magazine? What's a magazine? What characterizes what you find in a magazine?
Short, concise articles.
Okay. If you read Publishing Ministry, she says long articles kill magazines. Don't put long articles in there, okay? You know, short, colorful. By the way, I believe very strongly that I need to produce literature for you literature missionaries that you would never be ashamed to hand out, that looks attractive, that doesn't look weird or, you know, there's a lot of, this society is overly stimulated by visual things, and we cannot, you know, fall behind in that way. Okay, short, spirited articles. Let's see. There's so many great things in Publishing Ministry. I do want to encourage you literature missionaries. You know, there are a lot of other things to do. Maybe you're not just literature missionaries. Maybe like me, you also do health work and other things. But this is an important text. When you think of giving out literature and you think of that chain, this is Publishing Ministry. God works by means of instruments or second causes. He uses the gospel ministry, medical missionary work, and the publications containing present truth to impress hearts. Then she says, the gospel ministry, medical missionary work, and our publications are all God's agencies. One is not to supersede the other. So they each have their place. We need to understand that as we're working with literature, that there's a time when that the literature is what's needed. There's a time when a gospel presentation, but if we all work together as the body, it will be more powerful. Other places she talks about how when there is an evangelistic meeting or a Bible study, it's going to be more effective if you have something to leave with them because the objections are going to come. So magazines and tracts, that's where they fit. My last story, and then I think you all need to go. I'm also a choral director. A year and a half ago, my choir was singing at an Adventist church. It was a very small Adventist church that we would go to at the beginning of our choral year when we weren't sounding, you know, the best. They were very forgiving. And as I turned around after the concert was over, I saw a lady that I'd never seen at this church before, and it was a nearby church to our school, so I kind of was familiar with the members. And I made it a point to go up to her and ask her her name, and we acquainted ourselves and decided to eat together at the fellowship lunch. She had never been in an Adventist church before, and she just happened to decide this was the day to visit. And I asked her what her background was, and she had been working at a Bible college as an accountant and had moved into the area and was just church hopping. Never been, so she thought she should come. She was thrilled she'd come to a choir concert. So I just began to talk with her. I said, so you've never been to an Adventist church before. Would you be interested to know why we keep the Sabbath? Oh, yes, I would. I said, well, I'm a magazine editor, and I have a special issue on the Sabbath. And can I send that to you? Oh, yes, please. So I mailed it to her, and a few weeks later, she emailed me, and she said, I'm very interested in what you sent, and I'm reading. So we started exchanging little pleasantries by email now and then. About 4 months later, I opened my email, and there in the inbox was, Happy Sabbath. I couldn't wait to read this email, and sure enough, she had come under conviction that she should keep the Sabbath. We agreed to meet, and she told me that she brought her magazine. And everything was marked up, and I said, oh, I want to give you a new one. No, this is precious to me. She had it marked up, you know, everywhere. And she said that she wasn't ready to join the Adventist Church, but she keeps Sabbath now. So the Lord knows what should happen next.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's Word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.